You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens, Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@commonfangbr. You can also find us now as the official Nebraska podcast of The College Huddle, which is the largest independent online college sports community, and we are so excited to be part of it. Check out thecollegehuddle.com to learn more. Hey, Common fans, do you like ribeyes while your spouse prefers a good filet? Do the kids argue about burgers versus hot dogs? Not to worry, because certified Piedmontese beef has got you covered. Stop by your local Mercado Butcher Shop with two locations in Lincoln and one in Omaha. You can also go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. They've got everything you can think of, and this premium Nebraska product is melt-in-your-mouth delicious. Get to your local Mercado Butcher Shop or visit cpbeef.com, Common fans. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Today's guest is a graduate of Norris High School. He was the 2017 Gatorade Player of the Year in baseball in Nebraska. He was an All-American baseball player at the University of Kentucky, and he was selected by the Detroit Tigers in the 10th round of the 2021 MLB draft. He also happens to be one of the funniest guys on social media and a massive Husker fan. We are talking about Austin Schultz. Austin, thanks so much for joining the Common Fans today.
Thank you guys for having me on. This is actually my first podcast I've done, and I don't think there's any better way to start off than the couple of Husker heads like myself, man. So appreciative of you guys having me on, man. I'm fired up, and let's get it going.
Yeah. Love it. Well, we're excited to have you. You know, first of all, we just want to thank you for even coming on with us in the first place. You know, we've got a Norris guy talking to three pious guys here. I hope you're not feeling too uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is definitely not normal, but hey, man, we'll bury the hatchet now. We'll get it going. So.
Well, you've definitely had an awesome, phenomenal baseball career, Austin. Tons of success at Kentucky in college. You were drafted in the 10th round. How much of that success would you attribute to, you know, really, you know, honing your skills and being forged in the fire, having to play against the juggernaut that is Pius X Central Catholic High School Thunderbolts?
Oh, man. Yeah, my freshman year of high school, actually, Pius handed me one of my one of three silver medals in high school, man. So we go way back with Pius, had a lot of great battles over the year. But yeah, man, high school baseball, some of my best memories, and had some good battles with the Pius Thunderbolts, man. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, obviously we're a little bit older than you, Austin, but – we go
only a little bit, Jeff.
Just a tad, just a little bit. But we go way back, and like back in our day, like I remember, like I'm no offense whatsoever, but we just hated Norris. That's just the way it was. You know what I mean? And you know, just what town name? Firth. Firth. Just that name, Firth. You know?
Hey man. Yeah, dude. It kind of started out with the guys before me, kind of like the 2012, 2015 era when I came into high school. Okay. They had some battles in there, and it definitely continued high school days.
So it is still alive and well. Like, I was just curious, like, are we so old and dated that, like, we still hang on to an old rivalry that doesn't even, like, exist anymore? Is that still a thing, though?
I don't know if it's as much because Pius is mostly Class A, I believe, now. But definitely when I was in high school, it definitely the rivalry was still a thing. So
I got you. Jeff, is the Pius Norris rivalry keeping you up at night, Jeff?
No, not at all. No,
it seems like you're still bothered by it. Austin, your videos on Instagram, and I know you're on TikTok and maybe other platforms as well, but you're just absolutely hilarious. So for the common fans who don't know, find Austin on Instagram. He's Austin.Schultz, right?
Yep.
S-C-H-U-L-T-Z. And he's got all kinds of videos. You know, your background's in baseball. So the videos are just, I get you call them spoofs, maybe, of, you know, baseball dads, baseball moms, different types of umpires, different types of coaches, you know, different. I love the different drills are absolutely hilarious. And most of them are meant to be funny. They're exaggerated. But I feel like there's a dose of reality in a lot of what you put out there as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious, what made you start doing this? How'd you get into it? And then also, like, what's the inspiration for this stuff you put out there? And is any of this stuff based on real people?
So, long story. So dating back to like 2020, one of my best friends at Kentucky, TJ Collette, he started posting on TikTok during COVID and it like blew up. He had like over 100,000 followers and we were all like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. And me personally, I was very jealous. I was like, dude, that would be awesome. I want to start doing that. So I started posting on TikTok around 2021 and it was mostly just kind of baseball advice, tips, just kind of giving back my knowledge of the game and trying to help younger players. And I was kind of off and on for a couple of years. And then recently, just really past December, early 2024, I started posting on Instagram and that's when you started seeing the skits, the funny stuff like that. And I've gained like 150,000 followers in like 3 months. So, the TikTok kind of climb was slow. I actually passed my TikTok following up on Instagram. So, it's all happened really quick, man. But the inspiration for it, man, is just like me and my buddies have always just loved making funny videos, clowning around. That's kind of always been the thing that I love about baseball is the camaraderie, the teammates, your friends, making memories. And then obviously my baseball career, just kind of everything I love in one. And it's just been very fulfilling for me. And the great thing about what I've been doing is 99.9% of the messages I get and DMs I get are very positive and stuff like that. So that's been very fulfilling for me and really cool. And it's kind of a push to keep it going, man. It's kind of my inspiration for it so far. So
are any of the videos like based on real people? Like, is the father hitting piss missiles at his son? Is that meant to be your father?
there's definitely some truth to that though. The baseball moms I posted the other day was pretty much just a compilation of my mother at games and my grandmother. So shout out to them. But yeah, man, I think I've played for, I've been lucky to play for a lot of really great coaches, but also some interesting, not so great coaches and some crazy dads on teams. So there's definitely kind of some inspirations and stories that are put into, some of the videos, but yeah, I mean, it's all pretty much just fun and games, man.
I got to jump in. I got to tell you, I was showing my son who plays 11U baseball and my wife, some of your videos, telling them that we were going to have you on the podcast. And so now my wife follows you and she was showing me a video that she saw today of all the different types of baseball moms. She said she's two or three of them. She's a combination of two or three of them. And one of them was the low key psycho mom. So
yeah,
I think you've covered a lot of ground there with the
yeah,
the different types.
Yeah. Like I said, it was pretty much a compilation of my mom besides maybe one or two. So she enjoyed it. I told her that I'd been going too hard on the coaches and dads. It was time to get back at the moms. So
there you go.
It was good, well, man.
And hats off to Kat, Matty O, for having the self-awareness to understand, like, you know, that's partly her in those videos.
That's exactly what I said to her. I'm like, I said, I'm so proud of you. That's so self-aware.
Yeah. You right. Are that low key psycho. I love that about you.
Yes. Oh, so God. Good.
Yeah. Tread lightly, Owen. She's going to listen to this, you know, so just,
oh, she's not. Careful. She's not. She might though. Now that she follows Austin, she might. She wants to watch Austin.
She
said, I think Austin, it's, she goes, yeah. I think it's going to be a good one. So maybe she will.
True. Yeah. That's all.
Well, I mean, so yeah, you get the mom thing down. That's hilarious. But some of the outlandish drills depicted in some of your videos are really hilarious, downright funny. And you nail like the physical humor, obviously. But did over your years, did you ever run into a situation like in reality where a coach is telling you to run a drill and you're not really sure what the purpose of that drill is, or are you sure, like, are you pretty sure the coach has no idea what the purpose of that drill is either? Like, some of these videos just make me laugh. Like, is there any real world basis on that?
Well, the scary thing is all the messages that people send me, they were like, I've been seeing this stuff recently. And I'm just like, dude, I'm just in there like doing random stuff, trying to be like as crazy as possible. So I'm like, it's slightly concerning that you can actually relate to this and like are actually seeing that first off. But no, usually the stuff I've been doing is way more overboard. But yeah, man, I think it's just recently, man, with social media and hitting coaches on Twitter and stuff. And like I, like we were talking before the episode started, like people send me videos in my DMs now of all these drills and stuff. And I'm just like, some of the stuff I'm like you said, this has all like been a joke and it's just like fun and games, but to actually like see it in person, I think that's why people like it so much, because it's relatable, but it's also like kind of crazy, but they're similar. And it's, yeah, some of the stuff out there is wild, man. It's absolutely crazy. So,
yeah.
Well, we kind of found out about you from some of the crazier videos, you know, pitching drills part two, I think is my favorite one of yours. But we've noticed too, you do have some more serious kind of instructional videos as well. You know, where you're talking about your approach to hitting or working off the tee or base running. And you kind of mentioned, you know, you kind of started out doing social media, and doing that. And like, that was the initial thing that you were putting out there. Do you do any, you know, one-on-one lessons or do any clinics, any hitting clinics or anything like that? Back here in Nebraska?
Yeah, I've been doing just in-person lessons. I'm actually going to start doing remote training here soon, just so I can kind of help people from all over the country. And I feel like I have a lot of knowledge to give to the younger generation, the players, because with my videos, there's a lot of bad stuff that's out there. So I want to give people, you know, the right instruction. I've been really lucky in my career and the people that helped me get to this point with really good instruction and really good coaching at, whether it was at Norris, at Kentucky, or in professional baseball, man. So I've been really lucky, and I feel like I have a lot of knowledge to offer. So yeah, man, like I've been doing lessons in Nebraska, and then, like I said, the remote training is hopefully going to start soon, and hopefully I can give back. And that's kind of my way to give back to the community and all my fans that have, you know, been shown support. So
that's awesome. So when you are doing those kind of things, you put that out on social media, if people are interested.
Yeah. So like I said, it's kind of in the works right now. I'll start doing that here hopefully pretty soon. But yeah, right now I have a few kids that I work with one-on-one or have worked on in the past when I was in high school or back home for like during college for Christmas break and stuff like that. So yeah, that's in the works right now.
Very cool. Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And sort of on that note, you know, would love to dig in, and let's be clear, Common fans, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see, for those of you listening, we'll just tell you, Austin's rocking the Nebraska hat, and you know, we're excited to get into, you know,
Fiesta Bowl hat.
Is that the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl?
Oh, that's a sweet one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Nice. Damn right.
Great.
Cinco de Mayo Fiesta. Here we go. Woo.
Jeff, it's a Fiesta.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Come on, Jeff. Wait, so we're excited. We're gonna talk Husker football here as we always do. But before we get to that, Austin, I'd love to dig in a little bit more on your baseball career. You know, I would imagine, you know, you get to junior high or high school or whenever it was, and it's like, hey, I'm pretty good at this, right? Maybe it was long before that. Maybe it was when you were 9 or 10. But I'm just kind of curious, especially for our younger listeners who are chasing that dream of maybe playing a sport in college. You know, what kind of work did you start putting in, you know, whenever it was, junior high, high school? You know, what'd you do? At what point did you say, I'm going to get to the next level? I'm going to be a college baseball player. I'm going to be a professional baseball player. And like, what kind of things did you do to like achieve that goal, or what did you put into it?
Yeah, well, luckily my dad played some college football, so he instilled in me a young age of hard work and discipline and working for what you want. And really at a young age, I realized, you know, recently that I was really manifesting all this before I even really knew what manifesting was. You know, people would ask me what I want to do, and I was like, I want to, you know, play Division I baseball and get drafted and play pro baseball. And there really wasn't like a doubt in my mind. It was kind of just like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a way to figure it out. And from a young age, like I'd always been super just God-given talent, man. Just everything was kind of really easy for me. I've always just been really fast. That's always been kind of tough when people ask me, like, hey, like, how do I get faster or do this? And like, I've just been really blessed, man, with a lot of God-given talent, thankfully. But yeah, man, I'd say around like 10 years old, I knew I was gonna be pretty good. I'm not the biggest guy either, so I was always kind of worried about that. I think that's cool about me. Like, I'm 5'9", 195 pounds. Like, I'm not the biggest guy, so I think that's also like an inspire thing about my story. But yeah, obviously going through middle school, high school, after my freshman year of high school, I started getting offers from, like, you know, Nebraska, Midwest schools like that. And then it kind of all kind of came to life for me that, you know, this is actually, you know, it's kind of my dreams are unfolding in front of me, man. So I'd say that for sure.
Austin, what about, you know, growing up and, you know, you get used to being around your club in high school, but then you go walking into a college locker room for the first time, or you walk into a professional facility for the first time. You worked pretty dang hard to get there. You know, you can play, but you go to that next level. Is there any second guessing that goes on? Like, you know, you see somebody absolutely crush a line drive or have an incredible exit velocity on hitting a fastball. Or is there any moment where you're kind of like, wait, do I really belong here?
Yeah, dude, I think just the early days of hitting off the big hack attack machine, and I'm just sitting there just swinging through five in a row, and then you have the senior who's 23 years old just hitting balls out 400 feet, and I was like, oh man, this is different. Like, I thought it was good, but like, this is especially SEC baseball, man. You just kind of get thrown in the fire, and you got to figure it out. And it was kind of the first time in my career where I'd really experienced failure, and I really struggled with it a lot. My freshman fall, I started off playing really well, and then they kind of made adjustments, and I started struggling, got in my own head. And a cool story. It sucked at the time, but at the end of the fall, we do like a ranking from like position player, like 1 through 20, and like rank your teammates and the coaches go through a ranking, like who they think should start and everything. And I was actually voted by my teammates the worst player, like position player on the team. So that was just very humbling. And I was also like voted like someone that complains and like makes excuses the most. So just a very humbling experience where I'd always been like the best player wherever I'm at, and everything was very easy for me. And then my own teammates, my friends, were voting me the worst player on the team. It was a very kind of like come down to earth, like, wow, man, this sucks. I got to make a change. And then fast forward a couple months, I'm starting at shortstop leading off for our team, man. So I think that's just like a story I've only told a few times on my TikTok live, man, but just like, just learn how to deal with failure, man, because it's coming at some point. And, you know, you may not like where you're at right now, man, but you just keep working and persevere. Who knows where you'll be in a few months. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. Cause you played early and often, right? I mean, you were pretty much a regular contributor or starter, like
I started like 30 something games. I didn't start like right away. Like, didn't play the first game of the season. Second game of the season, I got like a pinch hit opportunity. Got a hit for my first college, like a bat. And I started on Sunday. And then, yeah, I was kind of like starts here and there. And then our senior shortstop started struggling. And then we were like at LSU. It's funny. This is another funny story. We go to LSU my opening weekend of conference series. And Friday, I was the first base coach during the game. And then Saturday, I was starting at shortstop. And I went like 3 for 5 with 2 doubles. Sunday went 2 for 3. With like a walk. And then ever since that series, I had started every single game at Kentucky while I was there. So it's just kind of freshman year is kind of, you're just trying to keep your head above water, man, and whatever opportunities you get. And like I said, the SEC is different, man. It's you kind of get thrown in the fire and you really just got to figure it out. So
what did you like that moment when your teammates voted you, you know, kind of the, you know, the worst, whatever you said, and we don't, yeah. I'm not trying to make you relive it. clearly that served as a motivating factor for you. Was there anything you did like physically or mentally, or was that just kind of one of those like, okay, like this can't happen again? Like, right. Did that like flip a switch for you, or did you start hitting off the tee more or working out more, or was it just like more mental, like, okay, I'm going to play with you. I'm going to show these guys I can play with these guys kind of thing.
It's kind of interesting because when I was in high school and stuff, I was like very like fear of failure driven based. And it's like, if I had a bad game, I'd go hit for 3 hours after the game, like at night, like, and I was doing a lot of that. And then I was getting in my own head. Like, we played like We had like scrimmages. We had two scrimmages during the fall against Xavier and Michigan, and I struggled in both of them. So I kind of got in my head, and with my swing, I'm very like almost too smart for my own good, where I think about mechanics and stuff too good. So it was kind of where that point where I was like, all right, man, you just got to like compete, and like, you just got to get in there and compete and think that you're better. But also one thing is my coaches had me starting at second base against like left-handed pitchers in that same kind of review we had at the end of the year. So that also instilled some confidence, like, wow, I can't imagine playing much worse. And my coaches still have some confidence that, you know, they see something in me. So it was a little bit like going inwards and be like, I got to change something. I got to, you know, no more excuses, just compete, be a good teammate, and you know, let the rest take care of itself and see what happens at that point, man. So, but it, like I said, it was a very humbling experience, and you know, at this point in my life, I'm very thankful for it. But at the time, man, yeah, it was really tough, but here we are.
So. Nice,
amazing.
I'll preface this with saying that I've known and grown up with a ton of different baseball players, some on the collegiate level. Not quite as good as your skill level, but the one thing I've noticed is that baseball players can kind of be a different breed in some cases. They just are kind of out there in some cases. But when you're in the dugout, I've heard some stories from my other friends, so I'll say keep it PG because I'm sure there's different things that you've seen. But what's some of the
family-friendly program?
We can go PG-13. We can go PG-13.
Okay. Yeah. PG-13's
okay. Weird/crazy/funniest things you've seen in a dugout. Go.
Oh, man. If you just go look at Kentucky baseball, just dugout stuff right now, man, the stuff they're doing is like the whole dances, wearing funny hats and stuff like that. And actually, our home run celebration was there. We do little nut cup, like little love tap at home plate. I have pictures on Instagram. You want to go look? So that was a little, people think that'd be a little interesting, but it was kind of, that's the thing about baseball, man, is you kind of, your team kind of bonds over those funny inside jokes and those kind of just weird kind of quirky things that make people laugh, man. And like you said, the whole locker room and talk, it could get pretty interesting, man. But I think, like I said, I think that's what brings the guys together and makes for really good funny stories like now that we can tell later. So
for sure.
That's so cool. That's one thing I always loved being a baseball guy. Like there's way more to it than people realize and understand, but still, like, it's a little bit different in the sense that like you have more downtime in the dugout or whatever it might be. And just, or like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of doubleheaders. There's a lot of tournaments where you're playing five games over 3 days or whatever it is. So the team just has a lot of time together and like some of the creative and funny stuff. And you throw in the blender, you know, a little bit of baseball superstition or like, and sometimes it's like stuff that you, like, if you explained it to someone else, they like, it might be hilarious, or they might say, I don't get that at all. That's not funny at all. But like, just when stuff like comes together in a dugout and a group of guys that are really getting along, like, it's just, there's something special about that.
Yeah. That's what makes the game special, man. That's why it's so enjoyable. So,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Austin, like, I, you know, I started seeing your videos on Instagram and just thought you were hilarious. And, you know, I love baseball. And so like, I started following you because of that. And then I started to notice, like, wait, is this guy wearing a Nebraska hat? Is that a Nebraska shirt? And I think one of the shirts, I know you got some retro gear in addition to the hat you're wearing. I think you got some other retro gear, which is pretty cool. So then, of course, we dig in a little bit, and like, you're a born and bred Nebraska boy. So you've been to Kentucky, you've been to pro baseball, but you're still a pretty big Husker fan.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Born and raised in Lincoln, and like I said, I went to Norris High School. I'm very proud of where I come from, man. It's been really cool. Baseball has taken me all over the country, and it's just really cool. You guys probably experienced this too. Like, where are you from? I'm from Nebraska. And they're like, wow, I've never met anybody from Nebraska. So I think that's been super cool for me, just being like a small town Midwestern kid, just living big city dreams and been able to kind of go live out my dreams in all over the country, man, and just coming back home and being super proud of where I'm at, man. So I love it here, man. Like you said, I wear the Nebraska gear, try to rep it as much as I can in the videos, and love to see the GBRs in the comments section, man. So
awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome. So cool. Well, we kind of mentioned you're just a little bit younger than us.
Just a tad. Again, just being, a little bit.
You know, being a Husker fan, being a little bit younger than us, we won't put a certain a definite amount of years on that. But it certainly hasn't been real easy to be a Husker fan the last several years. But you've got to have a favorite Husker football memory. And yours, you know, yours being a little bit younger than us, you know, your favorite memory might be a little bit different than what ours might be, but we're just curious on what that might be. If you've got a favorite or a couple of favorite Husker football memories.
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind, I remember what year it was, but my grandma asked me if I wanted to go to the game because her friend couldn't go. I think it's like 2007, 8, 9, somewhere in there. We played Oklahoma at home and they had like 7 turnovers or something, and we beat Oklahoma at home. That's the first one that comes to mind. I just remember it being such a crazy game, and I was like 7 or 8 years old at the time. And that was such like a magical night game at Memorial. Like, it's just like, doesn't get any much better than that, beating Oklahoma, and obviously like the rivalry with Nebraska and Oklahoma. So that's kind of the first one that comes to mind. But also, I guess, like, going to my first couple spring games, I remember Marlon Lucky was like my favorite player as a young little kid. So I'd probably say that. Also remember like bawling my eyes out when we lost the Big 12 championship game in my house, just
it's the right of passage. Like that, man.
Yeah, dude, it's tough. It's tough. So, I keep telling my mom that we're back, like we're going 12-0 in here in a few years. And she's like, oh yeah, whatever. And I'm just like, hey, if you're not a fan of 5-7, don't be a fan when we're 15-0.
That's right. That's right. You're damn right.
That's love what I keep it. Telling her, man. So it was fun. Last season, I got to go to like 5 or 6 games. I went to Illinois. So, yeah, man, it's been nice. When I was at school, like, I wasn't able to go to games and I missed it. So it's been good to kind of be and be able to go back to games and stuff, man. So
I just want to say, you were a small child bawling your eyes out when we lost the Big 12 championship game. I was in my 20s bawling my eyes out when we lost.
I was a 27-year-old man at a bar bawling my eyes out.
Dude, oh man. Yeah. Probably should have brought that up.
We could be talking about 2009 or 2010. And either way, I was bawling my eyes out.
Either one.
Does not matter. Oh, is he mentioned that?
That Oklahoma game, I was going to say, Jeff, you and I were at that.
We went to that. I was going to say, did we go to that game together?
Yeah. I think Matt O'Hanlon, I think, had 3 interceptions. It was one of the 7, whatever it was, so many turnovers. It might have been 7 turnovers. But yeah, it was like a 10-3, like, defensive slugfest, and the crowd was hyped. It was a great one. That's a great memory.
Awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, that was a fun game.
It was fun.
Oh, what year? Yeah. Do you guys? What year was that?
I think it was 09.
Was that Bose? Okay.
Was it 09?
I think it was 09. Okay. Because I remember. The way I remember is that we did not have Taylor Martinez, and he was 2010, I believe, was his freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it was old Zach Lee. Maybe was quarterback.
I can't remember. So. And Joe Gann, Zach Lee, something like that.
Yeah. Sure. And we had Oklahoma's Landry Jones was quarterback for Oklahoma. I remember that.
That 09 offense was rough.
Yeah. Defense was fantastic. The
defense was outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I obviously you would know because you've listened to all of our previous podcast episodes, Austin, but this is a big Matt Rhule house, if you are already aware. We're all in, all on board. So from what you've seen from Coach Rhule and how he's doing things right now, how do you feel about the program and the trajectory and where we're headed? How do you feel about it? You like what you're seeing? You're not liking it? What do you think?
I'm the biggest Matt Rhule fan as well, dude. I want to meet him so bad and get a picture with him. I have so many people send pictures of them with a pic. Like, my best friend's got a picture with them. I'm so upset. So I want to meet him. But that's a great thing, man. I've been around really great leaders, really great coaches, man. So I've kind of seen the blueprint and what it looks like, and they're kind of all the same. And Matt Rhule has a lot of the same attributes, man. And your team takes the identity of your head coach. And I think the way that Matt Rhule conducts himself, the way, you know, his values and everything that he preaches, man, I don't think we could have got a better guy for the spot, man. So I'm with you guys. I'm a huge Matt Rhule fan. I think he's a great, great leader. And I think he's going to turn around, man. I'm super excited for this year. So,
hell yeah.
So on that note, let's have, what's the Austin Schultz 2024 record prediction for Nebraska football. What do you think?
I'd say, I think week two Colorado game is going to dictate a big portion of how the season goes. I think if we start out 2-0, win that game at home, I think there's a good chance we start out 7-0. I think there's a good chance. I might be. That's kind of. I think if we win that game at home against Colorado, I think we'll have so much delusional confidence to kind of like, here we go type of thing. Because that's just like, if you played sports, man, you win a big game like that, and you kind of have that confidence like, whoa, like we can do this. We have a good team. You know, I didn't play Division I football, but I played football in high school. And I remember like our junior year, we didn't know if we were good or not. And I remember we won a few games. And we're like, dude, we're actually like, we could be pretty good. So I think it's just that one game where everything can change. So my prediction, I think 8-4 and then win a bowl game.
There you go, Owens.
Where I'm at. And I predicted 6-6 last year, but so I'm not going to say that I'm going to be right, but I think 8-4 is a good spot.
I love
Tell him Owens.
I've been saying since the season ended last year, we're 8-4 in 2024. It's just got too good of a ring to it. 8-4 in 2024. It's election year. Like, let's get it done. That's our slogan for Nebraska football.
Yeah. 7-0 going to Ohio State. I think game day, dude. I think it's gonna be a good year, man. That'd be something, man.
If we're 7-0 going into Ohio State, then we're finishing better than 8-4.
We're winning that game.
I have no doubt.
You'd think so. You'd think so. Like I said, I think the week two game is going to have a lot to do with the trajectory of the season, man. So I think I got that game circled on my calendar. I bet you guys do as well. Yeah. But we got to win the first one as well. We can't look ahead.
So we have to remind ourselves that nothing has come easy for Nebraska football many years now.
No.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that Colorado game. Like, I feel it just gives me a lot of angst. I mean, it feels like both times we played them in the Frost era, we absolutely had those games won and should have, not could have, should have won both of those games against Colorado. And so, like, there's going to be the fan base is going to be so spun up
desperate
to win that game. And I just hope we can put it all together. I'm not convinced that this swapping out 60 new guys every season approach is really going to work long-term.
No.
But again, it makes me nervous. Like, I feel like, you know, last year, like, I feel like it'll be similar this year where by game 9 or 10, it'll be pretty clear who they have, who their guys are, what they're trying to do. I feel like game 2, like, it's a little bit of a trap for us. Like, you don't know what Coach Prime's going to throw out there or whatever else, but I do think that's we can of course recover if we don't win that one, but man, I think the boost we could get from winning it would be huge.
Yeah, I think we're gonna smoke them, but no, I think we're winning by double digits. And that could be 10, that could be 24. I think we're gonna get them.
Ship has sailed. The one thing I've noticed about that, this isn't a Colorado podcast, so I'm not gonna give them any more, you know, airtime than they deserve, but. They tried the one thing Coach Prime is good at is just getting people to look at him. So last year was his way of doing things, of bringing new players in. This year it's everybody's jumping ship, so he's going to talk shit about him. That's the way that's going now, that he's got people looking at him again. We're going to kick their ass. I know that for sure.
Dude,
I'm with you, man. Wait. I'm fired up. Fired up now.
Did you go to the spring game this year, Austin?
I did not. I was out of town, but obviously saw all the highlights and everything. And I was like, we're back. Like, we're back. So, I mean, I think, yeah, we got our guy. I mean, we got our guy. So.
We always love meeting a fellow Kool-Aid drinker. You know, the Kool-Aid, absolutely. The Kool-Aid is also red. Yeah. It's always a red Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Yeah. You may not have been alive during the glory days of the 90s, but you are just as delusional as a as a Husker
as we are.
It's in the blood. It's genetic.
Yeah. My mom was in college during the 94, 95, 90s. So she got 3 national championships and she was in college. And he's like, the only way we win a national championship is if I go back to college. And I was like, well, you need to go. You need to get back.
What are you waiting for? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Can we do a GoFundMe to get you into some grad classes or something like that?
Exactly. Something. Yep. Get a master's or something.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it. Well, what are you most excited for? Like, I mean, is it, we're pretty heavy on the Dylan Raiola hype train. Like what is it that makes you optimistic about turning the corner this year?
I mean, obviously him, and then the defense getting everybody back is obviously massive. Just having that same unit, and like just being in a system for the second time. I remember my freshman year, you come in, everything's new. It's kind of everything's thrown at you, trying to figure it out. And I remember like coming back the second year in college, and everything's just like, all right, I know what to do now. Like, I know how to prepare my routine. I know like how the coaches are gonna react. And I think that's now that Matt Rule's got his guys in here, and everybody kind of knows what to do. And now it's not. Now it's like year two, trying to, you know, it's revenge year, man. Like they're gonna come back and know how everything works, and they got that sour taste in their mouth from last year, man. And that just being like a competitor and playing sports, that's just, it's super motivating. So, and obviously having Dylan Royal is a, that helps a little bit. So yeah. I love how they're handling that with just kind of keeping him low key and everything like that. I think Matt Rule is a mastermind in that aspect where they bring him up and he's like, he brings up all the quarterbacks and kind of shuts it down. And it's like, hey, we need all of them, this and that. So I think that's another thing that isn't talked about enough with Matt Rule is how well he's managed kind of all the outside noise with those younger guys, man. And I think that's very, you know, being a player and having a coach that has your back, like in that aspect, is gives you a lot of confidence as well, man. So that's one thing that I admire of him as a coach and as a leader, man. I think it's awesome. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we're with you. We're pretty safe. Do you have any eligibility left? I mean, I know like you went and played professional baseball, but I think you could still play football. You mentioned being a pretty fast guy.
I wish. You know, I don't want to brag, but I was all state running back in high school 2 years.
What are we waiting for?
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about it. Every time I watch a Matt Rule press conference, I get fired up. I'm like, I want to go back. I wish I could play for the student, go play for football. But those guys are also pretty big. I'm a 5'9" white guy, 190 pounds. I don't know if I'd be too hot there, man. Those guys are quick. So
you're one of those guys with the low center of gravity. You're tough to bring down. Come on, don't sell yourself short.
Whatever it is, exactly. Exactly, man.
All right. Well, Matt, Jeff, do you guys have any other Husker? I have one non-Husker football related question for Austin, but do you guys have anything else related to Husker football before we?
No, I'm good.
I do not. Nope.
All right. I'd love to hear, Austin, like your top three or five or six or whatever it might be, like ranking of the best baseball movies.
Baseball movies. Ooh, this one's tough. Off the top of my head, I'd say I love Moneyball. I find myself watching Moneyball on Netflix quite a bit. I'd say Sandlot's got to be number one. Just watching that as a kid, man. This one's really tough.
What about, are you a Bull Durham guy?
I am a Bull Durham guy. Like Little Big League, Angels in the Outfield, like those type of movies where there's like kids in it. I remember just being a young kid watching those type of movies, but I think Sandlot takes the cake for me. Just, you can't beat it, man.
You can't. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely stood the test of time.
Major League guy right here. Major League.
Oh yeah. Major League. I gotta forget that. My dad's a huge Major League fan. Yeah. He watched it all the time.
How close to your reality in minor league baseball was Bull Durham?
I'd actually been to the Bull Durham Stadium, but I don't think not very similar. I don't think I think this is like the everyday grind. I think we had it a little bit nicer than what they had in the movie. But the funny stories and the crazy thing that happens on the field, I guess you could say that's pretty similar. In that aspect, just like I'd say, just like the characters in professional baseball, man, you got people like all walks of life. You got older dudes, like you have guys with like, you know, won a World Series ring. And then you got like little like 18-year-old dudes, 16-year-old like Latin kids who like don't speak a lick English. I think that's the cool thing about my minor league baseball, man, just all the walks of life. So I guess that kind of Bull Durham is kind of like that with all the different cool characters, funny characters, man.
That's pretty cool. So.
No doubt.
I posted this on Instagram, so I still have access to it, but a buddy and I were just sitting at a bar several years ago having this conversation about best baseball movies. So we spent probably like an hour making a list. So our top five were number one, Bull Durham; two, Major League; three, Field of Dreams; for the Sandlot. 5-8 men out, which is a sleeper. And now that I'm looking at this, it might be a little high. But those were we actually did 10, but I won't bore the common fan listeners with the rest of them. But I feel pretty good about that top four, especially.
I'm with Austin. I just like maybe Moneyball in there on your top five, and I think
Moneyball's eight on our list.
Yeah. I've only seen that one time. That's a good movie too. I need to rewatch
it. Very good.
Yeah,
it's really good.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
TJ, are you one of those guys that like that gets an adult male that gets emotional during Field of Dreams?
I do.
Well,
you do too.
I get emotional. Absolutely, I get emotional watching Field of Dreams.
You caught me off guard, Jeff. But I ball at Field of Dreams every time I watch it.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit it. Like I'm in the same boat as you. Every time I watch it, I'm like, you get a little dusty.
Have a catch. I mean, the whole have a catch. And I've always kind of said, does anybody say let's have a catch? But maybe it's never.
Older
term. But it still gets me.
No, again, I won't go too far down the personal rabbit hole, but it was my father's favorite movie.
Yeah.
And so that's the dad, do you want to have a catch thing? Like, I can't keep it together. I can't like it's not just like it's not misty eyed, it's not seasonal allergies. It's heaving, bawling pretty much every time I watch.
Understandable.
That makes sense because I don't feel that when I watch that. So I don't know if that's the when I have kids, maybe one day, that's when that'll.
There you I'll go.
Absolutely. Or, you will, like you will get.
I'm curious. Do you like the movie overall?
Feel the Dreams? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Movie. It just doesn't make you emotional. Okay. Okay. Got it.
The one thing though is, I mean, I think we can all agree, and Austin, you'll agree, the uncle is such an asshole.
That guy would be big in jail time. Today.
He's an all time all movies villain, not just baseball movie villain. He's like any movie villain.
He's in such a hurry to run his sister off her farm, and then he almost kills his niece. Like,
she's choking on a hot dog.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
choking on a hot dog.
Has a total bag.
I have had the thought that, like, Field of Dreams in particular, like, if you, you know, I think there's something to be said for the fact that if you first encountered it, first watched it in childhood, then you fall in love with it. But if you try to explain it to like a 30-year-old or something, this guy hears he's a farmer, and then he starts hearing voices. And then he builds a baseball field. And then this dead old ball player comes back. And then he's got to drive to Boston to find this old author. And then they come back. And then he travels. There's a brief period where he actually travels back to 1972. And then it's like, it's just sort of like, it makes no sense. And yet it's perfect.
Yeah.
It is true. You know? Yeah.
Well, and then
the old guy he sees in 1972 becomes a young player who plays on his field. Anyway, so.
I guess the one knock I have on the Sandlot is when I was watching as a kid, I was like, dude, these guys are so good at baseball. And then I watch it now, I'm like, these kids are horrible. like these kids are so bad. Yeah. After they're feeling the way they're feeling ground balls, I'm like, these kids suck. I remember being a
terrible
kid.
Fundamentals.
I was like, Benny the Jet is the greatest player I've ever seen. Now you're just like, this guy sucks.
That's so true, dude. Just to go ahead and age ourselves, I remember going to that in the theater, going to Sandlot in the theater. And I had the same thought, like, whoa, these guys are so smooth. They're so good at baseball. This is unbelievable. And now you watch them now and you're like, couldn't they have found some baseball players? This is terrible.
It kind of ruined it for me. So
that's funny.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We've covered a lot of ground here. Anything else, Matt and Jeff?
I appreciate you, Austin, for joining us, and we look forward to watching any of your funny videos, instructional videos, everything, all the content you're putting out.
Yeah. Kudos to you. Keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Austin, anything you want to plug to the Common Fan listeners? And you should know the voice of the Common Fan stretches far and wide across the windswept plains. So, you know, anything you want to put out there to our vast, listener base about just kind of the videos or anything else you're working on or stuff you're doing. I know you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram, anywhere else they can find you.
Yeah. TikTok and Instagram at Austin.Schultz. I know we got probably a lot of Nebraska listeners. So I'm going to be doing like remote training here soon. So if you want, you know, some of the the best advice that a professional player can give, man. Definitely come work with me and DM me, and I can get back to you guys. So we got some fun things in the work, man, behind the scenes. So I really appreciated you guys having me on, man. This was really fun. So wish you guys had some more questions, man. I kind of want to keep going, but you guys got to kick me off. It's all good. So
no, we don't have to kick you off. Let's keep talking. What else should we talk about?
We can talk some more shit about the uncle on Field of Dreams. I love doing that. I hate that guy.
I don't spread too much negativity, but you know,
just so unpleasant. let's finish with Husker football veered off into baseball movies, and I could talk about baseball movies forever. I don't know. We did an episode recently. This episode will be out by the time listeners are listening.
I got a question for Austin. All right, Austin, you've made it clear you've been to some Husker games. I would like to know, because we talk about food a lot on this podcast, especially like game day food. So you are in Memorial Stadium and you're hungry. You've probably been tailgating. You go in the stadium and you need to grab something to eat. What is the first thing you get to eat at Memorial Stadium?
Well, hey Matt, great question. It's totally cool. I was not in the middle of about to ask a question. Totally cool. Like, great question.
I couldn't tell if you were getting somewhere or not.
Fair enough.
Talking in circles.
Probably an unpopular opinion, but I'm a huge popcorn fan, dude. I don't think there's anything better than like good salty popcorn at a baseball game, football game. So I'm definitely getting a popcorn, and definitely got to get a hot dog, man. And then maybe like a Mountain Dew or a water. And then depending on how many beers we had at the tailgate, then I'd probably get a Valentino's pizza. You know, if I really got to recover in the first quarter, second quarter, halftime. So, but I'd say, yeah, man, hot dog, popcorn combo. Can't go wrong with that.
Love it. A traditionalist, really.
Love what I'm hearing there.
The popcorn at Memorial Stadium is hard to beat.
In the box. It's got to be the one in the box. Yeah. Not like the pre-done, like Colby Ridge. Because at the like basketball games, you have like the Colby Ridge, like, you know, in the plastic bag. No, I want the stuff in the candy cane stripe box.
My tongue better be raw when I'm leaving the stadium. Like, yeah, it better absolutely. Be salty, and it better salty. Be yeah. that. It's got to be like, yeah, the Colby Ridge in the bag. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. I'll throw one more at you, Austin. I'll give you a minute if you want to pull up the 2024 schedule. And we talked about Colorado a little bit, but we talked about this on previous pods. But we talked two or three games that will sort of define the season for the Huskers in 2024. We did an episode where we talked about three games that will define the season.
Well, yeah, we already mentioned the Colorado game. I feel like that's a big one. And then I think if we beat Ohio State, I think we're winning it all. So again, I think that'll be awesome. Like I said, we go in there undefeated. That's gonna be game day, and that'd just be insane. And what is it? Are we at UCLA or USC on the road? Which
one? UCLA at home at USC.
USC, I think that'd be really cool. As well, just like two story programs playing at the out at their place. I think that'd be awesome to go play there. I think that'll be a really fun game to watch, because I remember watching Nebraska play USC like early 2000s. Who was there? I can't even remember who their quarterback was. Was it John David Booty? Was his name something like that?
Yeah,
I remember like watching the Nebraska games against that when like in like USC's heyday. So I think that'll kind of bring back some memories for me, watching the red and gold and the Huskers out there, the white jerseys. I think that's bring back some good memories.
You know, you're let's see, you might have been,
I was born in 2000, so
I was about to ask you. Okay,
well, I was born in 2000,
so you probably don't remember, but maybe have you heard stories of the home and home with Notre Dame in 2000 and 2001, where the Huskers just stuck it to him in Lincoln, and I can't remember which one came first. And then Crouch and company went to South Bend.
Calm down.
Husker fans took over the stadium, and we beat them in overtime. Have you heard stories about that? Or
I haven't. That, like I said, I was born in 2000, so I don't remember that, but it sounds awesome.
Hey, TJ, nobody cares about that, all right?
Nobody cares about Notre Dame, Jeff. Exactly. No. So Austin, Geoff is our resident, like, yes, he's a Husker fan. He's a fellow Common fan, but he grew up in a Notre Dame household. So, you know, he likes to bring up Notre Dame a lot. So we just have to keep him in his place.
Okay. See, Austin didn't know about it. Nobody cares. Move on. Let it go.
He knows. He knows. He knows about it. He just doesn't remember it.
I don't remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, can I just say, I'm so glad that when you brought about food, you had the courage to stand up and not choose a Runza. Good for you. Have a backbone. Runza.
I'm not a Runza fan. I'm a fan of Runza, but I'm not a Runza fan. I love their cheeseburgers and fries. I think they're undefeated. I
good
go
for
there
you,
way
sir.
Too much. Way I too much. But I'm not a Runza. I'm not the Runza fan.
You don't like warm, hot cabbage hot pockets? You don't like those? Those are delicious to you?
It's an unpopular opinion, probably, but I love their cheeseburgers and fries, though. Can't go wrong with those. So.
Well, I think the nail was already in the coffin based on the first, 40 some episodes we've already done. But any chance we had at a sponsorship from Runza is definitely out the door now, Jeff. thanks a lot.
My bad, man.
No. It's all Jeff's fault. It's all Jeff's fault.
There's still a real, real slim possibility that Amigos King's Classic might jump in with as much love as Geoff's given them.
Yeah, we've given the Jeff Sims combo.
He's alienated every other Nebraska chain restaurant except Amigos. So
yeah, well, Valentino's. I'm sorry that you have to, get a second mortgage on your house to afford a large pizza from there. Okay. I had Amigos tonight.
Costanza.
I had Amigos tonight for Cinco de Mayo, and it was delicious. So Amigos, if you're listening, we'll take on your sponsorship.
Hell yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Austin. It's hard to beat Runza's burgers and fries. I that's my go-to. Okay. I don't mind the Runza. I'll still eat a Runza too. But their burger, like if I'm there, it's like, even if I set out to go get a Runza, by the time I get there and I see the burgers and fries on the menu, I'm like, I've got to go burger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know?
In a lot of other fast food, you feel like crap after it. And I don't ever feel bad after eating Runza too, man. So that's another positive with it as well.
There you go.
They're undefeated. It's undefeated.
You're a professional athlete, and it's clearly good for you. So that's unbelievable.
That's the key. It's the key. I gave away all my secrets. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else, gentlemen? Any of the three of you? Any final thoughts?
Anything, man. Anything.
No, I'm good. This has been a blast, man.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. So thank you again, Austin.
Austin, will you come on and hang out with us again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll have to come on after that Colorado game this season. We can talk about it once we win it and we go 2-0. We can
talk
about how we're winning it all.
We should have you join us for some of our post-game recaps in the fall or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Be awesome. That would be awesome, man.
Cool.
So I'll be watching.
All right, well, check him out on TikTok and Instagram, Common Fan, Austin.Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z. One of the funniest guys on social media. And, of course, he's a Husker fan. Stick around, Common Fans. We've got starting in June, we've got a series we're really excited about. Just going to tease it right now. Not a lot of details, but we've got a series of episodes that's already in the works. And I think all Common Fans from a lot of different generations are really going to enjoy this. So stick with us. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to check out the College Huddle. Things are happening. Lots of things are happening at the Common Fan Podcast that we're really excited about. Thanks for listening. As always, Common Fans, until next time, GBR for life. Mm-hmm.